Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your beginning New Year's Day to join me on the broadcast. Happy New Year to every one of my dedicated, faithful listeners to The Cross in the Desert. I am praying, I'm decreeing health, wellness, prosperity in your new year, and it is a pleasure once again to be the voice of the Iranian people. This is my commitment. This is why I do this program. It is my God calling to be a voice for them and to begin this new year being a voice for their freedom. I am believing, God, that this year will be an incredible year of transition, that the Woman Life and Freedom Movement will grow larger and larger, and there will be continued worldwide attention to the people of Iran, and I stand with them until the day they can walk down the streets of their city, and that is my commitment to them. And my commitment to you is to begin this new year in the Word of God, because God is the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. He created it all. He is the beginning of it all. He is the end of it all. And this is 2024. And I don't know what kind of a year you had last year. I know there were struggles and challenges for me, and I'm sure you experienced them too. But we are going to focus today on the Word of God and on the promise of God. And we are going to hear what God has to say as we begin this new year. It's all about trusting Him. It's all about putting our focus, our attention on Him, to know that He has our lives in His sovereign hands, and that He is the one that is in charge, that He is in control. And so I want to begin this new year with a verse of scripture that I have shared with my Iranian friends. It's the title of one of the books I wrote for my friend Maral, and it's based on Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. While this verse in context refers to Israel, it can also reference you and me, and I believe it is a very important promise for all of us. Let's listen to what God says. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, the hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." This is the name of a book about my dear Iranian friend Maral. wrote it about 6 years ago when she traveled across the dangerous mountains of Turkey, across land and sea with refugees to find her hope and freedom and journey. Finding Hope and a Future was the name of the book, The Journey of Freedom for Maral. So I want you to think about this verse. I want you to understand the implications this verse has for you. God says, oh, thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. He is the God of peace. He is the God who is good every single day. And so keep that in mind as you begin this new year, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. But for our study today, study this morning, I want to go to a well-known passage of Scripture found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. God says, trust in the Lord all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He directs your paths. I know of no better verse to begin our New Year's journey together than to simply trust in the Lord with everything within us. And we don't always understand the things that happen to us and the reasons why. And that's why the writer of Proverbs, King Solomon, says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't focus on that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Promised to direct your paths. Well, how can you learn to trust in the faithfulness of God? This is what the Word of God says in so many places. For instance, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're talking about trusting in the Lord in this new year, but we need to first of all acknowledge we have to know something of the character of God in order to place our trust and confidence in him. Now, looking at what I just quoted from Lamentations, let's look at the word faithfulness. The Hebrew word translated faithfulness there means steadfastness, firmness, fidelity. The opposite, of course, of being faithful is to be changing, to be wishy-washy. When God talks about this quality of God, his faithfulness, this gives us confidence that we can trust him because of who his character is, who he has revealed himself to be. Psalm chapter 119, verses 89 through 90, quote, says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness, again, continues through all generations. Here, faithfulness in Psalm 119 is equated with God's word. God always speaks truth. God speaks never-ending truth. God spoke 1,000 years ago. He spoke something. Still stands. He is faithful to his word because his word expression of his character. I'm reading right now from the very powerful website, Got Questions, talking about the faithfulness of God. So the promises God made still holds true because he does not change. He is not wishy-washy. He is not unfaithful. Malachi 3:6, God says, I, the Lord, change not. So take this illustration of the faithfulness of God and look at it from a human perspective. A couple been married for many years. There is the wife. She's lying on her deathbed. Her husband sits nearby. He's holding her hand. Will not leave her. Even though no longer recognizes him. She's suffering, let's say, from Alzheimer's. He is faithful to the marriage vows, to the promises he made to her. And in the same way, God remains faithful to his promises. Even though we sometimes unfaithful to him, he is still faithful. So when Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, you need to be able to say, how can I trust God? Well, you know something of his character. He is faithful. And we learn to trust that character by continually seeking him, getting to know him. And so all of us are familiar with, I'm going to read the Bible through in 1 year. And some of us keep that commitment, some of us don't. But we begin in the Word of God because the God of the Word is faithful. You would never trust your bank account stranger that you met in line at the post office. I hope not. You have no experience of who that person is. You don't know anything about that person's character. Before we know God, we are sometimes afraid to trust him. We don't know yet who he is or what he may do. That's the dilemma of a lot of people that are sitting on the fence. Learn to trust by God by getting to know him, by getting to know his character. Now, there are three ways to get to know him. Very simple. This is basic Christianity 101. We get to know the character of God by studying his word, which we're doing today, by looking at how he has worked in our lives, let's say this past year. How has God worked in your life? And we learn to follow his voice. Jesus says, my sheep know me. They know my voice. Study God's word. There is a pattern there, and it emerges. We learn that God never changes. He never lies. Numbers 23:19. Samuel 15:29. It's very clear. The Lord is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. He's an infinite, holy God. He is not a sinful creature. We learn through Scripture that God has never failed. Asked. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6. He was always true to his word. He has worked in the lives of the ancient Israelites. And you read in his Scripture, although he was faithful to them, weren't always faithful to God. They would chase after foreign idols, foreign kings, false gods. The book of Hosea is the story of Hosea marrying a prostitute as an illustration that this prostitute was going to be unfaithful to Hosea, but he was going to be faithful to his wife despite her infidelity. And that was an illustration of God and the church. God was always faithful, but the church was like Gomer. Homer's wife, she wasn't always faithful. She was chasing after foreign gods that could bring her no peace or satisfaction. So we know the scriptures, God has never failed. He's always been true to his word. And through this interaction with his word, we can begin to build our trust upon his proven character. We can trust that God will always be true to himself. He will never cease acting like God. He will never cease being sovereign, that is, in control. He'll never cease being holy or being good. We know this about the attributes of God. And we can learn through our own history, our own life experience, he has never failed us, ever. I can tell you that God has always kept his promise. He has answered many, many prayers. Now, not always in the way that I would like them answered, but he has been faithful to provide. And I can attest to that in this past year. It has been a year where I was able to fix my mortgage with all of the interest rates going crazy and out of control because of inflation. God provided the right people, the right company, the right circumstances, and it's all done because that's his promise. He is sovereign. He is good. He is holy. Now remember, look at history. One command God always gave the Israelites was remember. Find that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. When they remembered all God had done for them, they could more easily trust him for the future. We need to intentionally in this new year remember all the ways God has provided for us and delivered us in our past. And a good way to do that is to keep a prayer journal. And you can recall going through that journal the many ways God has answered prayer. And it equips you and me to continue asking and expecting those answers. We come to our God in prayer. We know he always hears us. We know he will provide what we need, and he will always make everything. This is the beautiful promise, Romans chapter 8, 28. He will always make everything work together for our good when we trust him with it. We learn to trust God's future faithfulness by remembering his past faithfulness. Now, we can also learn to trust him by distinguishing his voice, learning to hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Know them, and they follow me, John 10, 27. So, belong to Jesus, need to cultivate the ability to hear him. And the primary way, of course, is scripture. But he often speaks in other ways, through circumstances, through other people, through that still small voice inside by the Holy Spirit. And as we carefully read and meditate upon scripture, the Holy Spirit will quicken our hearts to a verse or a passage that will help us to be calm. And that verse or that passage could apply to our current situation. And when the Spirit shows us in his word, that verse means we take it by faith. It's a message to us. We build trust by claiming his promises and applying them to our lives. But above all things, God loves for us to demonstrate faith. Faith is trusting in the character of God before we see how he is going to work things out. He has given you and me his word. His promises still stand. And see the ways he brings his promises to fulfillment. We trust in his faithfulness. Faithfulness to him will also grow, just as our trust in other people with daily interaction with them. In the same way, our trust in God grows the same way. We trust him when we know him. And to know him is to trust him. When we know him, we can rest in his goodness, even when we don't understand the circumstances that seem to contradict that promise. We can trust that God's plan for us will prevail. As a child, trust loving Father, we can trust our Heavenly Father to always do what is right. Now, one of the primary illustrations of trusting God in just deep, dark trials, Job. Job was the suffering servant of God in the book of Job. And he lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his life savings. God was testing him. Satan had came to Job, to God and says, take everything away from him. He will scorn you to his face. And God says, okay, you're going to find out you were wrong. And in the midst of his trial, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job says, though he slay me, I trust him, yet I hope in him. And that is a faith-filled statement. That has challenged me when I think of that. And when we face deep, dark trials, sometimes we want to walk away. We want to say, Lord, not faithful. But Job is the example in trials. He says, though he slay me, I hope in him. Job made this statement when he was in a terrible time of pain and suffering. He had lost all of his children, as I said, his wealth, his health. His friends were of no help. His wife offered no support. And in fact, she continually told him to give up on God. Job felt as though his life was over. The only thing left was to die. But as Job said, even if God did slay him, wow, he would still trust him. Job realizes ultimately his suffering being allowed by God. It's God who has the right and the power to slay. Even in the midst of his pain, Job knows that the Lord brings death and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up, 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord alone holds the keys of death and Hades. The faith of Job is seen in the fact that even if God's plan result in Job's death, Job will continue to trust in God. Nothing can shake the faith of someone so grounded goodness and in the glory of God. Job didn't understand happening to him at that time and why, but he knows something of the character of God. God is good, is loving, God is worthy. He knows that his pain was not permanent. He knows with God there is a way of escape, that the suffering of this life is temporary for those who trust in the Lord. This is what I want us to take away from today, trusting in the Lord, that he is worthy of our worship. And no song better demonstrates that than this song I want to play right now by Elevation Worship. Let's listen. That is the extravagant worship music of Elevation Worship. I want you to hear this special word before we leave today.
Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. In a world that never stops, where hustle and bustle are the norm, we often forget the importance of stillness. But God's word calls us to pause, to be still, and to recognize his presence. We drown in the noise of our daily struggles, leaving little room for God's voice to penetrate our hearts. But in those moments of stillness, we find something extraordinary. We discover that God is not a distant deity, but a loving Father waiting for us to draw near. Let go of the worries, the to-do lists, and the distractions. Instead, focus on the one who holds the universe in his hands. You'll find strength, peace, and a renewed sense of purpose. Embrace Psalm 46:10 as your daily mantra. When life's chaos threatens...
is a scripture you need to hold dear to. Be still and know that I am God. It has been a privilege to ring in the new year with you, my faithful listeners, today on The Cross in the Desert. I pray God's blessings, anointing on your life today. God bless you, and I will see you again on Thursday on The Cross in the Desert. Thank you.